free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee are prepared to black out certain parts of their memo about the FBI's Russia investigation to ensure there's no harmful spilling of secrets. Republican Congressman Peter King of New York has seen the memo. He talks about what is in there that would maybe give away some secrets.
Yeah, there were a number of things in there that, and not even changes the substance of the memo. I want that memo out. But there are some indicators in there which would show our enemies how we're tracking them, you know, different methods that we have. But that should be easy to take out without in any way changing the substance of the memo.
An unexploded World War II bomb has forced the closure of a London City airport. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
The ordnance was discovered in the River Thames during a construction project at the airport, forcing the police to set up a 700-foot exclusion zone until the Royal Navy can remove the bomb. London City Airport officials say this will cause a disruption of all inbound and outbound flights and that passengers should check with their airline before traveling. Some roads around the airport have also been closed until authorities determine how to deal with the 1940s device.
NBC once again found itself in hot water as it was forced to apologize to South Koreans for an on-air remark made by an analyst that cited Japan as an example that has been important to South Koreans' own transformation. The remark was made by the analyst during Friday's opening ceremonies on NBC. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. Weather this afternoon is mostly cloudy early, then becoming sunny with a high near 44. Northwest wind around 11 miles per hour with gusts as high as 21 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 21. North wind 6 to 8 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 39. North wind around 6 miles per hour, becoming calm in the afternoon. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 23. Light southeast wind. Wednesday, a slight chance of freezing rain before 10 a.m., then a slight chance of rain. Partly sunny with a high near 49. Southwest wind 3 to 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday night, rain likely mainly after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 38. Chance of precipitation is 60%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. You're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We have no office. We work out of our houses. And working out of your house is not bad because you don't have to fight traffic. Anyway, what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or know someone or work with someone who has a mental health issue or is friends with someone. And we do this in various ways. One of the ways we do it is we have what they call a family-to-family class, where the person who takes the class is someone who either has a family member or whatever, like I said, and they learn a little bit more about what it is to have mental illness. We cover medications, side effects of the medications, what to do, what not to do, what not to say in certain circumstances. And it more or less helps the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also have what they call a basics course, which is a 6 weeks course for families who have children who have mental health issues under the age of 18. We also run a support group on the third Thursday of every month at 52 East Main Street, and it's from 7 to 8:30. And everything there is confidential. And any of the courses we do or the support groups or anything like that, you don't have to be a member of NAMI. We'd like you to join, obviously, but you don't have to. And everything we do is confidential. There's no name releases after or anything like that. It's all confidential. If you have any questions or you want some more information about any of our subjects and what we do, you can call 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have somebody answer the phone 24/7. Or, you know, by the phone, monitor it 24/7. But we do have a young lady who checks on it at least twice a day. And we will get back to you just as soon as possible. So it's 908-284-0500. We are very privileged today to have with us Tom Cunningham. How are you, Tom?
Good. Thank you.
And Tom is from, let me get it right now,
Operation
Jersey Cares for Troops, right?
Operation Jersey Cares. Yes.
Right. Okay. And we also have with us Dana Gudaitis.
That's right.
Hey, I said it right. How about that? Whoa. That's unusual. I don't usually get names right. Well, Cunningham's kind of easy, so that wasn't so hard. But, and we're very happy to have you on the show. I know the last time you were supposed to be on didn't turn out so good for you, you know.
But yeah, a little issue with the heart.
Yes, had a little. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Would you tell us how your organization got started?
Okay.
Who started it?
All right. First of all, a lot of people think that I'm a veteran. I need to clear that up right off the get-go. I'm just a Marine dad. I'm not a veteran. I did not serve. Okay. So I had a nephew that was in the Marine Corps. It's a recon Marine. And we went into Iraq, and Georgie was one of the first ones in. So I started sending it to him out of my house. And I had a friend of mine
sending
care packages.
Okay.
From my house. And a friend of mine whose son was a soldier, and he was sending at the same time. And we joined up and started sending out of his garage. And we were sending a few boxes a week. And I contacted a mutual friend of ours that runs ARMS, American Recreational Military Services, and asked her if she would back us. And she said yes. So we started making all these connections. And then we had this friend of ours come along named John Durrell, who was a local locksmith in Raritan. And John had an idea to start a group to support the troops. But he just had an idea. He really didn't know what he wanted to do. So he called Bob and I in. And we had a meeting at his locksmith shop with some mutual friends. And that's when Operation Jersey Cares was born. So Bob and I spoke at that meeting. And we talked about what we wanted to do as far as several different prongs to the organization. One was to send the supplies overseas to forward deployed troops, take care of our military families, take care of our military personnel when they came back, take care of our veterans in hospitals and nursing homes. And we've done all of that. So we bounced around. We didn't have a home. We started at Post 12 in Somerville, American Legion Post 12, right. And then we bounced around to Post 327 in Bridgewater, and we finally landed at an abandoned drugstore in Raritan. So we
Raritan Township, Somerset,
Raritan, New Jersey. And we started in 2007 as part of Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 452. And they held our checkbook. They had an account for us to pay for our shipping. And we were fully incorporated, a registered 501c3 in 2009. We actually all just took $50 out of our wallet and threw $50 in the pot to get our treasury started.
Okay.
And what's important to note about OJC is nobody takes a salary from me down. Nobody has ever taken a dime out of this organization. Everything is for the mission. So if you fast forward to now, we were incorporated in 2009, so if, we are about 700,000 pounds of product packed and shipped to our forward deployed troops. And we have supplied nursing homes, transitional housing. We now have transitional housing in North Carolina, New Jersey, Wisconsin. We send stuff to USOs from Florida to New York. We have Heart of New Jersey Council. The Girl Scouts gives us all their cookies. We got 40 skids of cookies from them last year. We delivered them up and down the East Coast and overseas. We supply USOs overseas.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. When you say you deliver them,
we rent a truck.
How do you rent a truck and actually drive, say, to South Carolina or wherever?
Yeah. Or like Florida, we'll mail them. We'll mail small boxes, not skids. But the skids are loaded like 12 at a time on a box truck and delivered to a distribution point down in North Carolina, and they unload them with a forklift, go to several bases, do the same thing with New York, and then a lot of them go overseas too. We've been shipping to the Pat Tillman USO for a long time. And we try to hit like mostly Iraq and Afghanistan, but we're also sending to like Niger. We have contacts in Niger through special operators. So wherever our troops are forward deployed, we try and take care of them. And it's turned into just a continual stream of product going over.
You guys should have been around when Nam was around.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's part of what, that's part of the reason we started with Vietnam Veterans of America, is they were forgotten, and they were, you know, they
Tell
were treated.
Tell me about it.
And it's part of our motto is never again. We took that from Vietnam Veterans of America. We saw how they were treated, and we won't allow that to happen. We won't allow it to happen to my son, my nephews, my niece. I feel that they're all my kids. They're all my nieces and nephews.
Right.
And we send to everybody. We don't. It's not just troops from New Jersey. It doesn't matter where they're from. We take care of everyone. And it's not just military families and wounded that we've helped. We've helped from Texas, Florida, New York, Staten Island, Delaware, California. Wherever someone needs help, we get a fully vetted case through other organizations that we work with, like Marines Care, like Family and Friends for Freedom Fund, like Heart of a Marine Foundation, like Legacy of a Hero. These are all stand-up organizations that OJC works with. If they bring us a fully vetted case, we can pay it forward through that organization, and that does a couple of things. We pay it forward, you pay it the right way, anonymously, and it creates at least one degree of separation, because the family doesn't need to know that it came from us. It needs to know that they got help. So if we pay it through another organization, that's fine. We know they have a strong vetting process, so I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to do twice the work. So it makes it a lot easier for us.
So, Tom, I have a question. When you started this, you originally had sort of the international theme in mind, or why did you name it Jersey Cares? Just curious.
It was just a name we came up with. We didn't know that there was a we are Operation Jersey Cares. We didn't know that Jersey Cares existed. There is an organization called Jersey Cares that supplies volunteers. We didn't know that, but it's just a name that we came up with, and that's why it's called Opera, because the people from New Jersey care.
Started it,
and
yeah.
And we're finding that a lot of what we do is people come to us and they want to know how they can help. They don't need us to go to a nursing home and make contact with a nursing home and adopt a patient or go do a bingo. These are things they can do themselves. We can show them how to do it, or we can give them the contact information. But we find that people are generally very caring, very giving, and they want to help, and we can give them an avenue to help. So we have a lot of support with schools, churches, scouts, and it goes on and on and on of people that want to help, like making cards for the troops. And the cards are suitable for the troops. They're suitable for transitional housing. which we support, and they're suitable to go overseas, and we never get enough of that. I picked up cards on the way over here from Wright and Ford. DJ Wright led an effort to get Valentine cards for the kids. Okay. I got about 1,000 of them in the trunk of my car I just picked up, and that's going out. They're going out right away to our troops, and it was several sources from the Hunterdon County area.
Were you sending cards out?
Yeah.
You sent them out in bulk? Or
No, usually they go right into packages. There was a time when we did send them in bulk to chaplains and specific mm-hmm. addresses okay. because we were overwhelmed with them.
Right.
Where Governor Christie led an effort one year for every school district, there's 600-some school districts in the state of New Jersey,
right.
for every one of them to start writing letters to the troops. Well, not all the school districts participated,
right.
but we had pallets and pallets of Christmas cards for the troops. So I had more than I could fit in the boxes, so we just filled the boxes and sent them to key addresses, mostly in Iraq and Afghanistan,
okay.
to get distributed to the troops. That's one of the times we did that. Mostly they're just distributed in hundreds of boxes that go overseas. We send aboard ship. We have boxes that go aboard ship, so we can target you pretty much no matter where you are. We can get you the stuff. We work through the Somerville Post Office that does an amazing job, and we get stuff there in like 7 to 10 days. They have their troops. They have their packages. The troops have them in Iraq or Afghanistan. We get it there quick.
And, all right. What do you normally put in the packages?
Anything from soup to soap, anything, food.
Okay. Soup to soap. I like that.
That's better than soup to nuts. Right?
We've created kits. We have oral hygiene kits. We have snack packs. We have regular food they ask for sometimes, coffee, shower kits, Rosemary and Bendis kit called the utility kit. That helps with if a company or a school wants to do something for us, I can give them a kit list. And everything fits.
Okay.
Every kit fits in a 1 gallon Ziploc bag. And it makes it a lot easier for them. If they target a kit, they'll know what goes in that kit, so their shopping list is automatically created, and then it gives the kids something to do is to pack those kits up for us and write a note and put it in the kit. And it's mm-hmm. it's good to go. We
right.
get it, and it's ready to go, and you put it in the box. And you can put a shower kit in there, a shaving kit, oral hygiene kit, and so on. And we can give you a specific list. A few years ago, we took over Project Homefront, Staten Island. Excuse me. And what Project Homefront did was they gave us all their contacts. And one of them was New York Cares. And New York Cares has been huge. And they go out to these different firms in Manhattan, and they'll do a day of service, and they'll pack our kits. And I get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kits this way. So we don't have to go out and buy the product. We buy very little product. We have so many donations of product that we don't have to waste our money on that.
That's interesting.
We'll spend $40,000-$50,000 a year with the post office. That's just
shipping.
For the cost of mailing. That doesn't include buying the boxes, buying the tape, and our other supplies. Now, recently, we became aware of this huge increase in the postage. So we're trying to get a handle on that. It could be devastating to us. If our
sure.
postage doubles, it's really going to hurt us, because we can't afford $75,000, $80,000 a year to maintain this stream of supplies to
right.
the troops. So we're trying to get a handle on that, whether it's just going to go to flat rates, which we really can't do. We still have to send our big boxes. We sent out 13 boxes last Monday. We sent out 13 boxes. Cost us $1,000 to send 13 boxes. That's a lot of money.
Wow.
Flat rates have increased from 16-something to $17.40 a box. That's a large military flat rate box. It's as much as you can get in there. It can weigh whatever you want, but you can only get so much in it.
Right.
We can't get everything in it. Because if we have a specific request from overseas, we'll go out and buy it. If we don't have it, we'll get what they want. Now, I just picked up 25 Marines in Iraq, and they said, don't send us they need food, but don't send us a microwave. We don't have a microwave. We don't have a coffee maker. So I guess send them coffee grounds. So I wrote back to the staff sergeant, and I said, I'll buy you a microwave. Can I send you a microwave or a coffee maker? He said, won't do me any good. We have no place to plug it in.
Yeah.
So send me snack foods, send me shower kits, that kind of stuff. So we're going to send stuff out to him very soon. Those Marines are going to get hammered. We need to take care of them, because you know, they're not in a good place. So we look for that kind of stuff. We, you know, that's the kind of stuff we look for, and
right.
and we take care of those guys. We take care of those forward deployed guys and the men and women.
I could have used some food when I was.
I'm sorry.
I could have used some food when I was.
Yeah,
in.
So if I was potato
chips
a kid
or anything,
then,
you know,
I was a kid then, but I would have tried to help.
Thanks. You're making me feel like an old man because you were a kid. Okay. You know, I won't ask you how young a kid you are, long as you don't ask me how old a man I am. You
know, getting back to how did I get started and why am I interested in this? Okay, so I have a lot of family to serve. My father was a Marine, and he did the Pacific Campaign in World War II. He was island hopping, and my nephew George went into Marine Corps. He enlisted, went to School of Infantry, went to sniper school, became a recon Marine before he went to sniper school, went to Iraq, came back, went to sniper school, graduated top shooter, and went back to Iraq, and his sniper team was one of the ones that was taking down Fallujah. I have another nephew, Danny, that was... also recon. He was wounded three times in Afghanistan, received a Silver Star. Nephew Jonathan is a paratrooper in the Army. His brother's a paratrooper in the Army. His father's a paratrooper in the Army. They're all jump masters. Jonathan was wounded in Iraq. And then Tommy went in. My son, he enlisted, did two combat tours in Iraq, came out, got on inactive reserve, went to Bowling Green, got picked up by a selection officer in his junior year, went to OCS. He's now a captain in the Marine Corps, and he also jumps. So the whole family's jumping out of airplanes and helicopters. My niece Melissa was a staff sergeant in the Army. She also served overseas. So it's a lot of family involved. But like I said, I consider them all my sons and daughters. We need to take care of all of them. We have mostly military families and veterans. We have my operations manager is Chris Murray. He's West Point dad. He's also a police officer. His son is in Iraq right now. His daughter graduated West Point, and I understand she may be getting deployed sometime soon also. She's already done some combat tours and have a lot of Marine families, Navy families, all the branches, the people, their parents, and then have a lot of veterans involved. So it's people, and it's people that just love the troops and want to pay it forward and want to do good. I'm very blessed to have Dana as our secretary and our.
I was just going to ask Dana, what do you do over there?
She's phenomenal. She's absolutely phenomenal.
I do a lot of fundraising for them.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do.
In what capacity, like fundraising? I mean,
we use our last fundraiser as an example. Our last fundraiser was held October 6th at the Hunterdon Hills Playhouse, where we had approximately 350 guests attend, and Dan Tarone from Clinton was there to help us put together a great entertainment package to entertain our guests. One was the quote-unquote Andrew Sisters from New York came out and performed. It was very American-driven, proud to be an American moment that night. And we did very well and had a great time and hopefully raised some funds to put towards this new expense of shipping because it is quite expensive to ship what they ship on, I guess, an annual basis.
I was wondering where you were getting the money from. How many fundraisers do you have a year?
Right now we have one. We have one big fundraiser every year. Mm-hmm. And they do smaller things too. They do these things called shopping sprees where they stand outside of, maybe if you're at ShopRite, they'd be outside ShopRite or Stop and Shop. Or they do that also. This past year we did have a Super 50-50, which was a dollar amount won for three top winners. The year prior, we had a car raffle for an Audi, and that raised some funds also. So we do things maybe a little grander than just, I don't want to say like a come for a spaghetti dinner or a turkey tray. There's a little bit more to what our fundraisers offer because his organization, our organization, is great, large demand financially when you ship, when you have to consider, all right, they were $50,000 or $60,000 a year to ship and make those boxes reach our men and women who are deployed. But now, if those are expending, I guess, increasing.
Yeah, if it's exploding, I can't.
We have to find
ways.
It's
going to hurt everything because we don't want to cut back on helping veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, families in trouble, and that kind of post-traumatic stress disorder can lead to a family getting in trouble. And a lot of times we don't get something until a lot of these people, they don't reach out until somebody's ready to turn the lights off. And then you got to jump in and help them. So we need the funds to keep that going. We need the funds to pay our insurance. We need the funds to keep the lights on. So it's becoming a daunting task to get the funds in. So we need to get out there and get more involvement because we don't want to slow down the supplies because what happens is if they need a razor or they need something from a base exchange, they have to go to base exchange and buy it. Well, a lot of those base exchanges are closed down. They don't even exist. Mm-hmm. And the ones that did exist were not resupplied, or the stuff was, a lot of the food stuff was out of date. So we get a lot of requests, and we take care of them.
What about when they're back here? Do you get involved in any of that? Their mental health issues?
Transitional housing, we supply.
Okay. Go ahead.
Like one of them is Veterans Havens North, right up here on 31. Mm-hmm. We give them truckloads of stuff. If we get product in that's not suitable to send, it's still good, but it's mm-hmm. like we don't box it up and send it. One of them is a good example of that is an aerosol can of shaving cream. We can't send that overseas. That goes up to Veterans Havens North. Bulk food goes up to veterans. Right. Anything that they can use. New clothing, Veterans Havens North. We give them truckloads of stuff. So much that they can send stuff down to South, Veterans Havens South. We also have the fellow that I started this with, Bob, he got transferred to North Carolina, so he's picked up transitional housing down there.
Okay.
So when he comes up, we load his car, or we ship stuff down to him. He gives us points of contact down there, so we ship stuff down there. My brother-in-law that's retired, Burke Colonel, we send stuff down. He volunteers at USO down in Virginia. We send him truckloads of stuff, or he picks up truckloads of stuff.
So if someone's in transitional housing, what do you – do you just give them a care package? What do you do?
No, we don't give them a specific care package. We supply the center. So if Sean tells them, Sean was a director up there now. I don't know. I'm not sure who the director is now. But we'll say, listen, I have pallets of food. I have food. I have snack foods. I have brand new clothing. We give it to them. It's up to them to distribute it. The only thing you can't give them is anything with alcohol in it. No mouthwash with alcohol.
Right.
No
hand
sanitizer with alcohol. They need clothing. They need everything. They need underwear to dress clothes. Some of these guys are going out on job interviews. They're trying to get them back on their feet into society, get them housing. And they had a pretty good success rate up there. I think it was well over 80%.
Where is Veterans Haven North?
It's up off of Route 31, Sanatorium Road. You know where Hot Rods hot dogs are?
Yeah.
Yes.
On 31.
Okay.
There's a light there. You just to make a right,
make
you just
right,
keep
like
going,
you were going up.
Up
to
so I think it was old Tuberculosis Center or something.
So it's actually in Lebanon Township, New Jersey then, basically, I think. Or Glen Gardner.
I'm not.
Our audience is actually goes beyond New Jersey.
It's up where Hagedorn used to be.
Yeah. Okay.
Just before Hagedorn.
And then we go to Lyons Hospital.
Okay.
We help the veterans at Lyons Hospital, and then we picked up the state facility in Menlo. We've been helping them since the beginning.
Okay.
That's mostly bingo parties and then product, whatever. They give us a list of what they need. Clothing, and everything has to be brand new. Diabetic socks, clothing, what toiletries they can use, and whatever.
What do you mean bingo products?
Bingo. We do a bingo,
bingo
party.
Game.
Bingo party.
Okay.
Play bingo.
The patients come in and play bingo, and we give them a dollar that they can use at the canteen. When we do the bingo parties at Lyons, you have to buy canteen books. You can't give them money. But we also supply them with clothing and whatever else we can get up there.
See.
Dana, you had something you wanted to say.
I did have something that you can pick up on. You asked a very important question about what do we do when our men and women who are deployed come back? And Tom was saying how we still supply product to veterans' homes. There's a little more to that story, and I think Tom can expand on it, where we just don't say, here's some product. We actually help a little bit further. For example, there's families that we help where the Marine that came back was suffering with PTSD. So maybe some of the funds that we raised during a fundraiser then, in this case, helped to not only purchase a dog, but get the dog trained for PTSD It also, we were also able to, with all those organizations Tom was discussing, able to help that family meet their annual need of maybe rent for the year, food on the table, utilities paid. So it's not just preparing boxes, right, dropping off product, sending mm-hmm. product here and there. It's more than that. Because even, you can maybe the NIAC story, there's more to our involvement than just sending a package or preparing a box and sending it off to a facility or to overseas.
Right. Yeah, we had a family. It was a combat veteran, three children, high suicide risk, couldn't pay the bills. They're running in the red. He did three stints at Lyons Hospital in 143, his post-traumatic stress disorder ward. We got, like Dana said, we got his rent paid for the year, got him a therapy dog, got the training for the dog, put oil in the tank. And then we got him his benefits. I contacted an attorney, because the VA didn't, he was 100% disabled. If they don't tell him that you're also entitled to Social Security benefits. So we got him his back benefits. Actually, the lawyer did. Got him his back benefits for him and his children. Fast forward now, that removed a lot of stress. That removed the stressors from him. He's no longer suicidal. The family now has a house, and they're actually giving back. They're actually involved with helping homeless veterans. He wants to help homeless veterans and pay it forward. So that was a complete success story. Other ones were, we started out with, we helped two veterans right off the bat. One was, it was paralyzed from the upper chest down. His name was Vishnu Gonzalez. He was a Marine wounded in Fallujah. We did a fundraiser for him, and then we had Jimmy Benoit. This was early, early on in Operation Jersey Cares. He was almost cut in half with a roadside bomb, and we helped both of those guys. And that, from that, it grew to three service members with severe traumatic brain injuries that were brought to us through the Marines Care Program. They were at Kessler. They were fed feeding tubes. They had trachs. And one was from Texas, and two were from Alabama. So we helped them. And we helped a recon Marine from New York that was shot twice in the head with friendly machine gun fire. He survived. We helped him. And it's just one after the other. It's just on and on and on. Picked up one in Delaware, post-traumatic stress disorder. They're ready to turn his lights off. So we got a hold of the power company, paid his bill forward instead of just giving mm-hmm. them the money.
Right.
Pay them forward, keep the lights on for the kids,
right,
and then send stuff down for the kids. And it, and then we have a very broad mission. We're not a very wide umbrella, not restrained by strictly combat mm-hmm. wounded, where some of these groups are. We've helped military families with sick children.
Okay.
One was from New Jersey, had terminally ill. His son was terminally ill with inoperable brain cancer. We helped that family. Unfortunately, we lost Joey, actually I think yesterday or the day before was
two years
we lost him. There was another one in California that we helped. There was a Marine family that the wife had cancer, and she could no longer work, couldn't pay the bills.
Right.
So this stuff, you can't just come to us and say, I have a problem. You have to, you go through one of our other organizations that feeds us these cases.
Right.
You have to be fully vetted. That's why I have to be careful putting all this stuff out there, because
sure.
I can't have people lined up in a parking lot. But at the same time, we need to help people. So the way, like I said, the way we like to do it is pay it forward. Pay it forward anonymously, pay it forward, get it done. Because we don't, you know, I tell them, check your ego at the door, because check your politics and your ego at the door. That's where they belong. They don't belong in the organization. So we're just here to help people.
You know, it's ironic, because there was numerous surveys done by various military groups and what have you. 90% of veterans who got discharged and had a mental health issue, either PTSD or depression or whatever, anxiety, never saw combat. 90% never saw combat.
Wow.
And they attributed to the fact that we were talking earlier, before we went on the air, about when they come back in the military, they had when to get up, when to go breakfast,
yeah,
when to do this, when to do that, when to go to bed. And at home, it's like now they're put in a situation and they don't know what the heck to do because they're not, they don't have this regimented
situation. I was just going to say that, yeah.
Right. Everything is regimented, you know, regardless.
And you miss their buddies because somebody wants to go get a cup of coffee, they all go, or then let's go, or you're going with a buddy. Now they're by yourself, and they have trouble getting acclimated to civilian life.
Yeah, that's
absolutely true.
Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously those that are in combat, like you were talking about, sure, I can understand, you know.
You also had a lot of TBI, traumatic brain injury, that was misdiagnosed. And a lot of these veterans were being treated for PTSD, and they're not responding to the treatment because they don't have PTSD. They actually have a traumatic brain injury.
I know I don't know
how far along they've gotten with that, but I remember hearing about that.
I know a local school teacher in Huntington County who has a traumatic brain injury, and she can't remember anything for the first 20 years of her life. It just evaporated. She can't remember. Now her brothers and mother and sister all, you know, talk to her about it. But she's back teaching school and everything. And as part of her rehab, somebody suggested she go to McGuire Air Force Base. They have a big facility there for vets with brain damage. Mm. And she said, well, I'm not a vet. The person forced her to go, drove her, and they just accepted her like, boom, because they got the same problem. You know, they've got a brain injury, she's got a brain injury. So it's like, you know, forget that she wasn't in the service. Who cares, you know? It was like they got the same problem.
Right.
And they can talk and, you know, help each other. And so I thought that was pretty cool that she's helping people that, you know, like vets down there. And, you know, they accepted her.
They can relate.
Right, right, because it's relate. The same thing, you know.
See, that's the thing. These veterans, these vets, they all relate to each other. And they'll talk to each other. See, no matter what I do, I'm still on the outside. I'm just a Marine dad. These guys, there is such a common bond that it's like it's
unbelievable. You know, we went through things that other people haven't, and you know, so like
it's a shared experience.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, but as I'm sure you know by now, but you know, but by the same token, you've got family that are in the service or have been veterans. Others that you deal with have family in the service or were, you know, family that are veterans. So you have something in common too. You know, it's not just that you. Okay, true. You may not have been under fire somewhere. Okay, but you are here, and your relatives were. So that's a stress alone.
Yeah.
You know, and that's hard to deal with sometimes. From
You just have to, like when my son was in Iraq or my nephews were in Iraq, Afghanistan, you just have to have faith. You got to know that he's one of the best, he's with the best, and they look out for each other. It's not about anything else except you looking out for me, I'm looking out for you. I got your back. We both want to go home alive.
Right.
So, you know, Tommy referred to them as his Marines. These are my Marines. And one of his buddies would consider him his Marine.
That's,
so they're looking out for each other. And you see that when, you know, when they came back and they come marching in, and a lot of times they don't want to talk to you. They're a little bit different. They went through all this stuff with their buddies, and there's a bond that they have that you can't really understand. And now they're going to be separated from them. And when we picked him up at Lejeune, these they couldn't get off the base fast enough. They're through the gear in the trunk of the car. They just want to get off the base. They just want to get out, get in their civilian clothes, and get off the base. They don't. That's just what they want to do. So, yeah.
And you know, it's ironic because, you know, lately people, if they see somebody that's got, you know, military T-shirt, you know, army, like you're wearing a jacket, like you're wearing or something, or like my hat, you know, they'll say, "Oh, thank you for your service." You know, nobody ever said that before. You know, going
Vietnam
back,
veterans didn't get that.
No,
yeah,
no.
Well, Vietnam veterans,
we got spit at.
Right, and on top of that, VBA started Vietnam Veterans of America started because they weren't accepted. They weren't accepted by VFW wouldn't accept them. Their own uncles and fathers.
I've been asked many times to join the VFW. I won't, because when I first came back, I went to the VFW, and they said, "Oh, we don't take your kind." My kind?
Right.
Okay, fine. See ya. That's why I've been in the American Legion for 30 plus years.
These are brothers.
You know, and they don't. Oh, we don't take your kind. And now they're after me to come and join.
Yeah.
You know, no, I don't think so.
Because they're dying off.
Sure.
Because they're consolidating.
Exactly.
They're dying off.
Exactly.
Their membership is down.
Right. Right.
They do have a lot of Vietnam vets now, but.
I'm not going to be one of them.
I never knew that until a Vietnam veteran explained that to me.
Yeah, that's true.
On top of everything
else.
Everything else, that's surprising.
Are you involved with any other nonprofits? I mean, like, you know, do you do things together, like fundraising together, or
fundraising? Well, we. Not helping veterans and St. causes and stuff like that, but it's sharing the fundraising. Not really. Like we'll go up to like Operation Chill Out.
Okay,
they invite us up every year, and we go up there and we help them. Things like that.
You know, okay, I know. I seen you guys at the business expo for the last couple of years too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think that was Jane
Block.
Jane Block got us involved with that.
Yeah. Jane got us involved.
That's where you found me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The first time, that's where I found you. Right, exactly. And, you know, I just think that it's great what you guys are doing. You know, I really do. Do you have any upcoming events you want to mention?
I don't know. I don't know, but no, we haven't set the date for the fundraiser.
Which will be in the fall sometime?
The Volkswagen Car Show is going to be on the 16th of September.
We are right now in the middle of doing updating our webpage professionally.
Okay.
The point where we'll have a calendar on there so people can visit that eventually and see what's going on for the month and how they can get involved or reach out to us or contact us with questions or if they have a collection that they're willing to do or make or they want to get involved or get their school involved or CCDs involved or what have you, there's a way to get to us that way. And hopefully within the next few months. I know OJC has a site right now, but it is getting revamped, and that will take probably till spring to get it up and going.
Yeah.
But in the interim, they can visit the old site, but there's something bigger and more beautiful coming.
We hear, what is that address?
OperationJerseyCares.org.
Yep.
OperationJerseyCares.org. Do you also have a phone number where people?
No. We will on the new site. We'll have a phone number. We'll have much better contact information, much more streamlined make a donation. We've needed this for a long time.
Oh, so right now can they make a donation?
They can make a donation
through your website.
Yes, they can.
You still can.
Okay.
Yes.
Through PayPal.
Right. Okay.
Let me ask you: how often do you? You had mentioned earlier. I don't know if we were on the air or not, but you said about packing. Okay, and I'm assuming you're packing items to be shipped.
It's continuous.
Right. How often is this? Every week? Every month? Or
if we get a name, they start getting boxes. So it's they're down there all the time packing boxes. It started out as 6 major packings a year, but as this thing is developing, it's like constant. So if we get a corporation that wants to do a day of service, we can bring them in, like a dozen volunteers, 20 volunteers, and bring them in and either get products sorted, do whatever work we need to get done, and pack boxes. And we have addresses to send them to. So I'm so blessed to have the volunteers that I have. The Monday morning crew, and Chris Murray is our operations manager. He brings these folks in, and they get the stuff done. And you know, we're always packing boxes.
And if there's somebody maybe locally, too, that has a corporation or a company that wants to get involved and pack boxes or collect product for those boxes, It would be amazing. So that would be something that they could reach out to Tom or through the webpage, send an email, so that they can get contact from somebody from the board.
We do have an email address. That's also going to change. It's operationjerseycares@yahoo.com. So with the new website, it'll
right.
be new emails,
All
new
right.
email addresses, new contacts.
Right.
But they can contact
For us now, it's operationjerseycares@yahoo.com.
Yeah, they don't pick that up because right. she's the secretary, so she'll pick that up. Anybody who wants to reach
okay.
out, some questions, get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Get their church involved, their scouts mm-hmm. involved, their schools involved. We have a lot of schools involved, a lot of school teachers, the kids writing letters, the Girl Scouts, Heart of New Jersey Councils, strictly Operation Jersey Cares. And I just gave us 2,000 units of nuts.
Wow.
He gave us nuts, candy, 40 skins of Girl Scout cookies, on and on and on and on.
Just thinking if your audience includes teachers and your business professional, if that's your audience, they might have an idea that they have some dollars that they may want to spend or, you know, corporate monies they might want to donate. And maybe they'll think of an idea or something to generate even camaraderie amongst the business itself
sure.
to bring that in. And it's really, it's a feel-good moment.
Right.
You know, when you're doing something for those that are serving and protecting and providing all of our freedom,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's really nice to give back. So...
yeah, there's no, it's all good. There's no downside to this. It's all feel good stuff. It's all good stuff, and they really appreciate it. The troops really appreciate it. They'll know they're not forgotten.
Now, the cost, the rising cost of shipping, is that for everybody or just packages or?
What do you mean everybody? You mean all postal customers?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. I don't Ooh. Think they're going to, yeah.
What's the date on this, or how soon could this
it's
change be happening? It's already being phased in,
yeah,
basically.
It's yeah.
Okay.
It's been going up. And there was an article in the paper last week. they said they're routing stuff through Chicago now. It used to be the distribution center was New York. Now it's going to Chicago. And somebody, I don't know how true it is, was in Star Ledger. I don't know how true it is. They said that's why it's increased. Now, there was a group that was featured in the paper, and they said it's doubled. I talked to our contact at the Central Postal Office, said it's definitely gone up, but it's not doubled. But there has been a major increase. Well, she's going to get back to me on the exact percentage of the increase, but it's definitely a lot of money.
But you know what you were paying prior, so you have an idea
right.
to what to share.
Right. So it was... different depends on how much the box weighs and what the zip code is on that box. So we've had a box weighed 32 pounds that cost us $72 last week.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
It certainly is.
The shipping costs
yeah.
here
Oof.
For the vice president of Operation Jersey Cares keeps track of all this stuff. So in 2009, we spent $49,534.65 on shipping, and we shipped 59,590 pounds.
And
wow. 2011, we sent 54,000 pounds, almost 58,000. It cost us $47,000.
Less than a dollar a pound.
It just goes up and down. Now you get what,
yeah.
The reason some of this is misleading because we in recent years, like last year, we started sending flat rate boxes. Because if you send one of our big boxes aboard ship, that $35 or $40 box, that's what it used to be, but not aboard ship, a $35, $40 box on land, as long as it's not a 096, became a $100 box, or a 096 became a $100 box. Those Marines out of Pendleton. So those, we started targeting them with flat rate boxes, large military flat rate box, which is 16-something. Because you get more bang for your buck,
right.
So we have to watch our. So in our total cost, we saved a lot of money last year by sending flat rate boxes, but
does it
some
take
of them need bulk, and we just can't get the amount mm-hmm. of product that they need in a flat rate box. Mm-hmm. So if to send them a massive amount, we got to put it in one of our big boxes, and that escalates the cost. So
is the flat rate? Does it get there in the same amount
yes.
of time?
Yeah, it's
just basically
yeah.
smaller.
It's a smaller box.
Okay, right.
So I can mm-hmm. send a couple of those. So.
Got it.
Like those 25 Marines, they're going to get mostly flat rate boxes.
You think it would be less expensive to have a bigger box than a lot of little boxes?
No, if I send a flat rate box aboard ship, it's now $17.40. If I put that stuff in the big box, it's going to weigh more, but it's going to cost me $100.
Yeah.
So I can't afford $100. Mm-hmm. Plus, the guys aboard ship, they can't use a big box.
Uh-huh.
Right.
They don't have this. Right. They have space is everything aboard ship. They, mm-hmm. First of all, they don't need food products.
No.
Because they have kitchens on the ship. And they get a different box. The ones aboard ship get snack foods, entertainment items, letters from the kids, stuff like that. So okay. They know they're not forgotten, but we're still supporting mm-hmm. them.
Right.
So it's a different atmosphere.
You had talked earlier about sending shaving kits and things like that. You can't send aerosol cans. Right. What do they use instead
for shaving cream? Shaving cream in a tube.
Okay, right.
So mm-hmm. even though we put that on our list, people, they see shaving cream. They yeah. buy shaving cream. So they can use skin body lotion is one thing they can use instead of shaving cream. Like, I don't know what you ladies call it. What is that? Some kind of body lotion? What is it called?
Body lotion.
Body lotion.
I was going to ask you.
No, body lotion.
You lost on yourself.
But would it be, have you looked into like where you're shipping, say, to, Delaware or North Carolina or something like that? Would it be cheaper to put it in a truck and drive it down?
We do.
Yeah, these are overseas packages.
Oh, the overseas packages.
All the overseas packages are $100.
Well, that's confused. The cheapest way is to just rent a truck.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
that's what I was going to say. Rent a truck and just, do it.
Oh, no,
it's overseas. These are shipping rates of overseas packages.
The post office is the most cost-effective way to get it there. Plus, every box goes to an individual. Every box has an individual's service member's name on that box. And it's delivered right, put it right in their hands.
Right.
Plus, mail always goes on the plane. You can't send people, we've heard this ever since we started, I know somebody at such and such a base, we'll get it on the plane. No, you're not. It's not going to happen. You can't send pallets of stuff down to the air base and expect them to put it on the plane and get it in the troops' hands. It's not going to happen. It
goes on ship.
What's that?
It's shipped over then.
There's always space for mail on the plane.
Okay.
So that's mm-hmm. the cheapest way to get it there mm-hmm. is to put it U.S. mail and get it there and get it distributed, get it there in 7 to 10 days, put it in their hands.
We have about 2 minutes left.
Really?
Yeah. So you talk a lot. You didn't realize how much you talked. Not only kidding.
I said the right stuff.
Yeah, Is there anything that you'd like to mention that we haven't spoke about in the last 2 minutes?
I don't know. I think I covered everything. I just... I think I have a lot of blessings in my life, and no matter what I've been through the last 5 years, I still am very thankful for what I have. And one of the blessings I have are these volunteers that I have in Operation Jersey Cares. I'd like to thank every one of them, plus the community that gets involved.
Right.
Like I said, people want to help, and we can be a conduit to show you how to help, how to do good things, and get involved. And do something good. Do something good for the troops. Do something good for the veterans.
Right.
So that's about it. I'm very blessed and very thankful for the good volunteers that I have.
Well, we're very thankful that you took the time to come today.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
I'm serious. Dana, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, he said it perfectly, and I wanted to say the same thing. He's got an amazing group of volunteers, all with one heart bigger than the next, and they do amazing things, great things for all those that have served and those deployed and those that come back. I would just really want those that are listening, your audience, or those that they can share it with, people listening that can share it with others, to see how people can get involved. Because you know what? We're only so many. Mm. But when you add all those manys together, an army, we could be an army and we can really make a huge difference. So if there's people listening that really want to get involved and really can contribute and help, we'd love to hear from them.
Well, that's great. And, like I said, it's a privilege to have you on. And I really think that, what you're doing is awesome.
Thank you.
And, I really do.
Definitely.
And so...
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. And remember, folks, we'll be here not next week because next week's a holiday. We'll be here the following week, same time, same station. And remember, mental health really does matter. See you in 2 weeks.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon.